Welcome to another episode of the Gunblog Variety Cast with your hosts, Sean Sorrentino and Aaron Paulette. Sitting in for Aaron this week is Weirdbeard.
Welcome to episode 165 of Gunblog Variety Cast Radio, a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. How are you doing, Weird?
I'm doing good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, but I know one member of our cast who is not doing very well at all.
Yeah, there's a reason why I'm here.
Yep. About 24 hours before this podcast was recorded, so sometime on Wednesday, Aaron put up a post on Facebook. Hey, got attacked by my parents' dog. 90 pounds, chewed up my face. Aaron actually sent me a picture, which I will not share with anybody because you don't need to see the cutting, the stitches. Not particularly pleasant, but ouch, chewed up bad. Somebody set up a GoFundMe for Aaron. There is a link in the show notes for Aaron's medical fund. What was this deal with Oleg, Weird?
Oleg put up on his blog that anyone who donates at the 125 level or above, you can pick out any photo on Oleg's gallery and he will give you the largest print possible from the file.
Oh, cool. So like maybe my picture?
That's what I first thought is I think I definitely need one for the ceiling over my bed.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't have any powder on my face, so this is a great big shine. There's some pictures that Oleg took of me at NRA annual meeting. I'm bothered by the fact that I'm all sweaty in the picture.
It's Atlanta, and it might be all that olive oil leaking out of you.
Oh, shut up, dude.
I had to.
I'm only half Italian, so I'm only half greasy.
But yeah, so we wish the best to Aaron. I was really glad to hear that she had sought the help of a plastic surgeon, because it's kind of like the difference between a surgeon and a butcher. The difference between the person that's going to be at the ER that's just going to sew you up versus a plastic surgeon is going to be really spending a lot of time making sure that it heals well. I think she will be very pleased with how things go.
The way medical science is these days, I mean, it's expensive, which is why there's a GoFundMe set up, but they are very, very good at what they do. So she should be fine. And you know what? She still looks better than you do, Weird.
That is unfortunately true.
So last week we announced our winner of the tourniquet and the flat pack. And I said, you know what? We'll just announce it on the podcast, but nowhere else. Well, I wondered how long it was going to take for this person. His name is Paul Chabala, to get back to me. Well, I get an email Monday at, I think it was about 1:30 PM. And it says, wow, I won. Great. This is the funny part. This is what really kills me. Wow, I only just heard the show because I generally listen to the posting on Weird's blog. That's how I was first introduced, and I have a sentimental attachment to doing that. That's why I was late finding out. So the podcast drops Sunday night, 8 p.m. He's emailing me the next day at 1:30, and he's like, this is why I'm late finding out. Dude, you were not late. That was fast. I was expecting Wednesday.
I listen to this show too, because I'm only on 10 minutes of it. That's the only show that I'm on that I listen to because, yeah, I don't hear the other people's segments until the show drops. But of course, since I'm posting it on my blog, I get it 12 to 24 hours before any of you guys. And I still don't listen to it until at least Monday morning.
Yeah, and I try to listen to it before it drops, but typically I don't. I will listen to it. I want to make sure that what I put out was not terrible. I remember when I first started, there were a few editing errors that I caught that way and a few just really screwy things that happened to the audio when I transferred a file from a place to another place. It was just bizarre. It was old computers.
And that's aside from us being new and rusty and it just kind of sucked back then. Yeah. I listened to old shows because I'm like, oh man, I covered this in one of my earlier ones. Let me just listen to what points I made on that. Oh, look, that's episode like 3. And I'm like, oh God, this sounds so bad.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, wow. Yeah. But I sent it off to him. He should receive it on Friday. Good job. Awesome. We're still looking for something else to give away. So if you run a business, if you have a firearms company, if you have something that maybe the listeners would like, let us know. We'll give it away for you. And that brings me to reminding you, join GBVC Radio Group on Facebook. And that's where we're going to be doing our giveaways. Also, hey, feel free to comment, to like, to share, whatever you want to do, talk to us on this GBVC radio group because that's why we set it up. Let's have a little community going on in here. Now, Weird, last time you were on, you read our Lucky Gunner Remington spot. And Aaron said, Weir did it wrong. I'm not entirely certain what you did that was wrong, but Aaron said it was just wrong.
Okay, I'm going to do it right this time. Thanks to Lucky Gunner and Remington for their support of the Gunblog Variety Cast Radio. From Golden Saber to Range Rounds, get a full lineup of quality Remington ammo that ships fast at LuckyGunner.com.
Well, that was awful fast. Is there any way you can, like, make it more weird?
Thanks to Lucky Gunner and Remington.
Okay, we can totally stop there. Let's get on with the show.
Hey, gang, this is Masad Ayoub from the Pro Arms Podcast. I'm here to remind you that our podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and I'm going to suggest you do what we do and check out the other podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
Weird, I gotta say, with Aaron being out, with Beth being on vacation, with Tiffany completely swamped, we don't have much of a show today. We have your segment, because that's done like a week or so in advance, but you know what? I've always envied your segment because your segment is cool. You get to respond to specific things. I don't envy the amount of work you have to put in to make them, but I've always thought, man, I wish I could be part of it. So I thought, why don't I just get you to cut up some audio and I can join in. So you got some stuff for us?
I just so happen to have a bunch of stuff that's very timely because that's all talking about the aftermath of the Las Vegas shooting.
Awesome. I know we don't try to be super topical, right on time, the news of the minute here on this podcast, because we like to have things that are valuable to you if you listen to them 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months later, so that people who join the podcast can go back a couple of episodes to fill in that spare time that everybody has in their day, right?
Yeah.
But I think since this is what everyone is talking about, it's probably a good time for us to talk about Vegas and the reactions that some of the anti-gunners have. So what do you got for me?
First up, I mean, it doesn't need to be topical anyway. Just because it's current event doesn't mean that anti-gun nuttery is any different. And I think we'll quickly see that. So I think I'll start out big. The woman who almost became president appeared on the Center for American Progress podcast. It posted on October 5th, but like most podcasts, that was not when it was recorded.
We spoke to her on Monday, just hours after the tragic shooting in Las Vegas. So we asked her about gun safety reform.
Depending on how many hours they're talking about here, there may have been bodies still on the ground at the scene of the crime. And certainly, no matter what, the blood was still wet on the streets.
Oh, yeah. So naturally, jump right in and have that discussion. I was careful to just not say anything. I didn't put anything on my Facebook page. There were a few discussions that I had on Facebook, but not a post, not really, here's my thoughts on this, for about 72 hours. I'm really getting tired of that, oh, we need to talk right now, because honestly, we know what they're going to say, and it's not going to move the needle any. It really, they're not going anywhere with this. We know whatever they're going to do, it's going to die in Congress. It's just not going to go anywhere. So let's let them. In my mind, let's just let them be idiots, right? What are we going to, you know, they're their one worst enemy.
Plus, the first 24, 48, sometimes even longer, most of the information we know is wrong.
Exactly.
Multiple shooters, full auto weapons. Oh, that was a belt-fed machine gun. This guy was an ISIS terrorist, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's so much crap that goes out for all of these.
Yep.
This next one's also not Clinton. This is also the host. This just shows what ground they're standing on.
In the area of gun violence, what are some of those bolder solutions? And do we need to start having a serious conversation about having fewer guns in America?
Now, Clinton gives her usual, like, politician kind of rambling answer. I couldn't really cut anything out without us spending the whole show just listening to her wobble back and forth on it. But at no point does she say, that's crazy, you're going too far. No, no, no. They are talking fewer guns. Tighter restrictions and grandfathering is not in their end game. They say they aren't coming for your guns. But they're coming for your guns.
Just got too many guns, in the same way we have too many opioids.
That's from a different interview with Steve Scalise that we'll have peppered in throughout there. But yeah, no, we need to have fewer guns. And he also says fewer opioids, which is another thing that bugs me. I got a big issue. That's another side thing that I'm for, is like this whole opioid epidemic. I think there's a lot of things that need to be done about this. But the whole idea is just fewer opioids. No, we have these for a reason. If you're in pain, like Aaron got bit by a dog. I hope they gave her some opioids and some serious ones to make the pain go away. They're wonderful for that. It's bad when they're misused and misprescribed and used on the street recreationally. That's where the problem is. It's not that we have opioids. We should have as much opioids as we can stand.
My husband took on the NRA and he beat them. Now, it did contribute to losing the Congress in 94 because I don't think either he or anybody else on the Democratic side was fully geared up to defend the votes that they made at that time on assault weapons, on the Brady Bill.
Did you hear that, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't geared up to respond to this. Essentially, they weren't geared up to double down on a lie. I mean, everything about the 94 assault weapons ban was, and the Brady Bill was, nests of lies. They were pushed as public safety. They were sold as machine gun bans. It was all just lie upon lie. We weren't going for hunting guns. We weren't going. These were guns that weren't used in sport. There's all sorts of justifications they had for this, and it was all crap.
And we all know that the reason that the AR is an important rifle today, that everybody has an AR, that everybody wants an AR as their rifle, is because of this assault weapons ban. If you tell us we can't have it, what are we going to do? Well, F you, I'm going to have one.
I would also argue that the AR and other AR pattern rifles and other similar quote-unquote assault weapons are great guns to have because they have so much versatility. I mean, the AR-15 specifically being like, you know, the Barbie doll for boys statement is you can change it over. You can have it be your long range target gun. You can have it be your 3-gun match gun. You can have it be your home defense carbine. You can have it be your deer rifle. There's a million and one things you can get into it. And if you don't feel like buying, you know, a dozen different guns for a dozen different uses, you can buy one gun and make it fit into a bunch of different categories.
Well, there's one thing that you may not understand, you know, me being 10 years older than you and having gotten into guns correspondingly earlier, in fact, probably a lot earlier since I started as a kid, ARs were looked upon as dorky wannabe guns. Like, what is that dude doing? Why has he got one of those? I mean, get a real rifle. And I lived in Southern California, so it's not like there was this huge hunting culture out there. But, you know, there was this one guy that showed up at Fish Canyon, the range that I used to go to, with his AR, and we all kind of sneered at him. Well, okay, now tell us we can't have one. We're going to want one, first off, because, you know, too bad. And number two, then we're like, wait a minute. These things actually are pretty cool. They work pretty well. We wouldn't have thought about it, but we all have one now. I've got one in my closet. I love it.
We've got to do a better job of getting prepared to defend these positions and to recognize that, you know, 90% of Americans agree with us and a very overwhelming supermajority of gun owners agree with us.
So again, prepare to lie and lie harder is what she's saying. And again, talks about the 90% myth. You've listened to this segment. I don't need to repeat on why that is completely and utterly false, but they love saying it because they want to say we all agree with it. But hey, guess what? If you need to keep explaining to people how much they agree with you, there's something wrong with your argument.
I am thinking what I need to do is I need to get a clip of you saying 90%, ha, 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 and just play that every time we hear 90% myth. I mean, like, seriously.
I talk about it every show. We talk about it literally every show.
Why do they love that lie so much?
Because they want to be popular. They don't want to be what they are, which is all alone. I mean, again, what was it? 80,000 NRA members in Atlanta and across town with pretty much the same amount of planning. I mean, the Moms Demand rally was prepared in advance, at least as much as the NRA rally was. And they got, I mean, they had people from all over. It was a big building and they had 200 some people,
including the homeless guy and us.
And the people that got shanghaied. So again, they know that they're all alone, but they want to try to say that they've got a lot of friends. They got a lot of friends out there that they just don't know about yet. And it's 90% of the people. But, and I wanted to go into, I put in the old, the news report where Clinton talked about on the campaign trail about taking sniper fire in Bosnia and having to rush for cover. And just show the level of lying that she's personally willing to do. This was an international news event. There was a million and one cameras there. It's news everywhere that the First Lady of the United States is coming to this, you know, war-torn nation that's just undergoing so much strife and turmoil. And there's video directly of her coming in there and her and the welcoming ceremony that she said never happened because of the sniper fire. And yet she's perfectly willing to say that with a straight face. No problem.
Feel strongly about this. And what we saw happen in Las Vegas was just a, you know, another horrible example of, you know, people with too many guns and too few restraints being able to now kill, I guess it's up to 58, mm-hmm. and injure 500.
Does this bother you as much as me, Sean? Is okay, so this guy obviously was a whack job, because no normal person's going to be like, hey, let's shoot some strangers.
Yeah.
That's who does that's this? That's a big problem with how someone's brain's working.
Right. Who does this? This is not what normal people do. Nobody says, oh, look at all those people, let's kill them. No.
Yeah, shooting strangers is a great idea. No. A normal person doesn't even consider that. Also, a weird thing that he did was he had like a whole ton of guns up in his hotel room. I mean, they also talk about how much guns he has at home, and it's one of those like, yeah, you haven't been to my armory, or JG from the Squirrel Report's armory. Yeah, no, people can get a lot of guns. So, he had like 38 guns at his house.
Oh,
so what?
Dude, give me the money to do it. I'd have more guns than I know what to do with. I would have probably half a dozen pure competition guns just to shoot competition handgun. So, yeah, don't talk to me about how many he had.
Or just get your CNR FFL, where you could just suddenly buy, well, they're not anymore, but you know, a few years ago I was buying Mosin Nagants for $70 a whack. That's a pretty cheap addiction to get yourself into.
No, I'm cool. no, I'm good.
But again, the number of guns is irrelevant. Like, I mean, we still to this day, I mean, Clinton's saying this, there's bodies still on the ground. There's still blood in the streets. They haven't even cleaned up from this yet. We still don't know at the time of this recording what exactly he used and all that. We've got some ideas, but the official reports haven't been coming out on what exactly was used, what wasn't used, what was there, what wasn't there. But number of guns is irrelevant. No matter how many guns he used, he was only using one at a time.
Now, let me geek out here for a second. Did you ever play any of the role-playing games that were cyberpunk? I want to say it was like Cyberpunk 2020 or something like that. I don't remember what it was exactly.
Shadowrun was one. I knew some friends who played it. I never played it myself, but yeah, I think I've read some rule books for it.
There was this rule in at least the Cyberpunk one, I don't know if it was in the Shadowrun, that the more metal you grafted onto your body, the less your humanity level score was.
And that was Shadowrun.
That's the way they're treating these guns. Okay, if you have one gun, okay, your humanity score drops in half. And every gun after that, then your humanity score like gets cut in half again. And after 10 guns, your humanity score is so low that naturally you're going to turn into this killing zombie and you're going to, you know, go up into a tower and start shooting people.
I forget the rule mechanic, but essentially, if you put too many cybernetic modifications on your body, you essentially stop being a human and start becoming an android. So someone like me that's got like safes full of guns and a safe just for Mosin Nagants, then I'm already I'm just an automaton.
Yep, pretty much. That's how they view us.
Yes, we should have a gun registration program. We should have a limitation on the maximum size and ammunition capacity for guns. Assault weapons should be off the streets as they were for 10 years because of the legislation passed in 93-94. There's a lot of things I'd like to see done.
Weird, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are there any guns in your streets? Do you leave your guns laying in the streets?
There would not be any guns in my streets. Just like there's no dollar bills in my streets either. If I walk, I have walked down the street and found a dinner bill, I pick them up and I bring them home.
Exactly. Seriously. Now, the next question is, if we assume that she actually meant by in the streets, like in civilian hands, in non-governmental hands, in the peasants' hands, if that's what she really means, were AR-15s, AKs, all those assault weapons taken away for those 10 years?
No, as a matter of fact, they got even more. We talked about it before. They went from being a marginal gun. I mean, there's a reason why they were so successful on it, is they went after specifically the AK-47 pattern gun and the AR-15 pattern gun. And these were guns that there were a few diehard fans to it, but they were overall kind of unpopular, kind of rare. I think the AR was still being just made by Colt at that point in time. So it wasn't even like everybody and their mother could make an AR. And so they were just expensive and funny looking and weird, and people just didn't get them. And so it was easy to get people to gang up on these guns. And then as soon as it was saying the, oh, you can't have these anymore, people went and bought all the grandfathered ones they could get their hands on and tried to get as many as they could under the ban, which is what everybody does. And then after that, I remember when I first started becoming pro-gun, I went to the Kittery Trading Post in Southern Maine and Kittery, Maine. And I went up into their gun room, and their gun room is huge. It's like a whole floor of this very, very big building. And I was amazed at just the number of ARs and AKs that I saw up on the racks there. And I just went, wait, I thought these were illegal. No. And some of them were, you know, ban compliant guns, but again, didn't get them off the streets. It just, we complied with the law, and suddenly it created a demand.
Yep. They came off of, I don't recall when it stopped being a patented, I mean, like it, the patent ended. So anybody could make the lowers. And since you could make it into anything you wanted, and you didn't need a bayonet lug on an AR, I mean, I don't have a bayonet lug on my AR. I'm like, okay, so we'll just build what we want out. Ooh, these are really cool. She came straight out and said, we need to register our guns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a political non-starter right there. How out of touch is she that she, the actual Democrat who ran for president, is so just disturbed out of her mind, I don't know what, that she thinks, well, I can openly say, we need to register your guns. We need to take away all of your AR-15s.
She was definitely a little bit more sneaky with the Supreme Court got it wrong when it came to the Second Amendment, essentially saying that no, there should be no individual right to own firearms. It should be just a quote unquote collective right, whatever the hell that means. But also at the same time, she's also talking about her and Obama were talking about how awesome it was when the Brits and the Australians all went through and just had their registration and started rounding up guns. Like, how can you get there with saying, oh, British and Australian law is so reasonable and common sense when we are talking about full confiscation?
We have been going backwards. We've been going backwards since the assault weapon ban was not reauthorized. We've been going backwards, you know, when we saw the liability bill that was passed giving gun makers and sellers the most broad-based liability from any kind of accountability.
Well, we know that immediately the assault weapons ban sunsetted, everybody ran out and bought an assault weapon, and then crime just skyrocketed, didn't it?
Blood in the streets, pandemonium, cats and dogs living together.
Yep, we were totally going backwards.
It was just like RoboCop.
So how backwards was it? What is this backwards she's talking about?
I gotta imagine it's backwards in the fact that they reached peak gun control back in 1994. And we've been rolling it back now. 50 states concealed carry. What is it? 12 states constitutional carry now.
And crime is going which direction?
It's going down.
Crime is half of what it was when I first moved to North Carolina. I moved to North Carolina to join the army in 1990. There was literally blood in the streets. I thought it was paint. I rode my motorcycle around it while I was taking my friend to his high school. He'd just graduated high school. He needed some transcripts. I took him out there riding on my motorcycle, and there was this big old puddle of red paint in the road. So I rode around it as I turned the corner into where his high school was. And I'm like, wow, I wonder who dropped all that paint. And he's like, dude, that wasn't paint.
Wow.
So here we are, I don't know, 30 years later, almost 20 some years later, and crime is half of what it was.
And this is her idea of backwards.
It is, in fact, her idea of backwards.
Unless we're going for places that Democrats hang out at, like New York and Chicago and Baltimore and Los Angeles, where crime has been going up. It could be that they're only looking out their front door. We also got to point out the fact that, again, lying about the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. The reason why that was there, you know, conveniently was because of the Clinton administration trying to bankrupt the gun industry with frivolous lawsuits. They were just filing lawsuits. They were getting lawyers to do pro bono work to file these suits against gun makers for a criminal shot somebody with a Smith & Wesson. So we'll sue Smith & Wesson. Somebody shot somebody with a Lorsen. Oh, we'll sue Lorsen. They knew they weren't going to win. They didn't win a single one. There was none of these lawsuits ever won. But hey, guess what? It cost, I mean, how much did it cost Lucky Gunner to defend themselves against the Brady campaign with their lawsuit?
Yeah.
In the $250,000?
Yeah, something like that. It was a lot of money.
And that was thrown out immediately. They didn't even actually go to trial. Yeah. So if it would have gone up exponentially if they'd gone to trial before it got thrown out. but it doesn't matter. Just keep throwing it down. There's only so much money they can burn. And so they, so that's where the PLCAA comes in. They was to protect people from these frivolous lawsuits that were just intended to just be a death by a thousand cuts. And it just brought the gun industry back to everyone else. Nobody sues Cadillac when a drunk driver smashes into a car, or if someone who falls asleep behind the wheel of their Cadillac and smashes into somebody, or a terrorist gets a car and drives it into a bunch of people. No other industry gets sued like that. Like, the closest I can get is the tobacco company's lawsuits, which I don't know. Were you a smoker, Sean?
No.
I'm a former smoker, and at no point during my smoking career did I ever go, oh yeah, this is as good for me as spinach. You know, so I kind of roll my eyes at the people suing the tobacco companies because they got cancer. But at the same time, I mean, it's not as bad as when a criminal actually does a criminal act with a gun. It's not the same as someone just buying cigarettes and lighting up cigarettes. So there's no other industry that gets attacked like the gun industry.
When people are being killed and gun makers and owners are being given a free pass, there is something so fundamentally wrong with our political system.
Free pass. I mean, that's just a complete and utter lie. Even better is, have we looked at all the voluntary recalls for different guns, such as like Sean's Sig Sauer?
Yep. And just as a person who does audio production, it's important to remember that you should never pound on the table in the middle of a radio interview.
I noticed that as well. I'm like, oh, this is going to bother Sean so much.
I'm so predictable.
The Brady Bill actually kept 2 million guns out of the hands of people who weren't supposed to have them.
Here's another, it's not quite a broken wet record. This is like maybe every 3 or 5 podcasts does somebody talk about the number of denials that the Brady Bill has done in its lifetime, implying that like every time somebody gets denied, like, oh, contributor Miguel Gonzalez. Hey, guess what? There's a lot of Miguel Gonzalez's in South Florida, and some of them are not nice people. Some of them are Miguel, and some of them are not nice people. And yeah, every time he goes to buy a gun, they go, I'm sorry, sir, we're going to have to wait and double check with the FBI on this one. And then guess what? We all know Miguel's got lots of guns. So
yeah,
those are denials of bad people. And then on top of that, when there is actually someone trying to buy a gun who cannot legally buy a gun, does anybody do anything? No. They say, no, you can't have a gun, and they just let them walk away.
Yep. It's not prioritized is what the former vice president had to say about that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Dylann Roof was never supposed to get that gun that he used to kill people at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston because he had a pre-existing arrest that should have disqualified him.
Okay. A couple of things here. I like how she had to stop and name check Mother Emanuel Church because, you know, I guess that gives her street cred, is that she can remember this very, very, very important in America black church. She remembers the name. So like her people will like her because she was like Mother Emanuel Church. Yeah. It's also kind of funny that, you know, it seems like Obamacare is on her mind because she didn't want to say that he had a conviction. He had a pre-existing condition. Oh, I mean, a conviction.
And again, I don't know. I never even heard any rulings on whether or not his arrest was in fact disqualifying. I've heard some that said that it was a felony and heard some that said it was a misdemeanor. I forget what it was even about.
It was a drug thing. He had what amounted to misdemeanor amounts of a controlled substance that was something to do with like Ritalin. It wasn't Ritalin. It was something like that. Ativan or I don't know. If you're going to hang all of the safety of humanity on a minor drug possession charge, that's your view of that is the savior of the entire world. Had the FBI freaked out that he had a minor drug possession charge and said, no, we can't have him have a gun? Seriously, that's where we are? No.
And also, one thing that never gets talked about in this case was it's not like he walked into that, I think it was a Cabela's, tried to buy the gun. They put a hold on it and they say, come back in 3 days and we'll tell you yay or nay. Came back in 3 days, said, have you heard anything? No. Okay, here's your gun.
Yeah, he was standing right there 3 days later going, come on, FBI, screw this up. Come on,
FBI. And
then
immediately got in his car and drove to the church to start shooting people, right?
Right, exactly, right? That's exactly what happened, right?
No, it was... It was like weeks to a month. I should have looked it up before the show, but it was a while.
I think it was actually 5 days when he picked the gun up, and it was several weeks between. It was like at least 10 days, and I think it may have been as much as a month. There was a long period of time where the FBI could have said, whoa, wait a second. Send the local police, have them retrieve the firearm from him, because that's what they do if they realize they've made a mistake. But clearly, they don't think they made one. They're like, eh, fine, whatever.
There was nobody watching the switch. This was literally just the blip came in and nobody cared.
Right.
Because again, he left and he had the gun and it wasn't like he strayed very far from where he was. They could have found him.
Right. And, you know, all of the white supremacists that he found online that were totally on board with helping him out, right?
Yeah, that's the other big thing. Yeah, there's so many white supremacists in America that, he had to go it alone because, he wanted a full uprising.
Yeah, what a douche. But it's a good thing to know about America. There just aren't enough people who want to murder black people. I like that.
I'm perfectly fine with that. That makes me very comfortable.
But the system, you know, is deliberately kept all creaky and slow.
No one was ever going to look into Dylann Roof when it came up. Nobody would have known his name. Nothing would have happened. And that was the whole point. Again, let me note that Chicago, we talk a lot about McDonald versus City of Chicago and their ban on handguns. Chicago never banned handguns. They just required you to have a permit to own a handgun. And they just didn't have anyone that could give out permits. There were actually like judges and magistrates and stuff that had handgun permits in Chicago. Third Power talked about it a lot on his blog back during the days before McDonald, of all of these connected people that had handgun permits, current handgun permits. In Chicago, just you or I, if we lived in Chicago, unless we had a political connection, there was no way for us to apply for a permit.
Right. They wouldn't issue one. That was the whole point. You know, you have to issue the permit to this guy.
So that's the whole point, is it's not, the system is kept clunky and slow is the whole point, is you don't have to ban everything. You just have to make it so just impossibly slow that it just never happens.
I think we need to remember that there's a reason for the 3-day limit, because if there's no 3-day limit, then basically they can say, well, we're still checking until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, a right delayed is a right denied, except if it's your gun rights. If it's your right to keep and bear arms, they can delay that until the cows come home. The same people who will complain, it'll take me 5 minutes to get a permit to have an assembly and petition for redress of grievances, are going to say, well, you know, 6 weeks, a year, whatevs, on a gun.
Same idea as they could pull funding for the NICS system and just make it so that the servers is being run by like, you know, an IBM 686 in like Hillary Clinton's basement. And hey, guess what? Yeah, no, you go to buy a gun and it might take 5 or 6 years to forever. The system may crash and there's no one there to reboot it.
They just turn it off. And that happens in Pennsylvania. The PICS system, they'll have it down for a whole weekend. They'll be like, nope, sorry, we don't have it. We got to do system maintenance, so it's down. Oh, yeah, there's a good plan. So nobody can buy a gun in the state of Pennsylvania because they have a point of contact.
The mentally ill. One of the first things Trump did when he became president was to undo the regulation from the Obama era. So, you know, mental health records no longer prevent you from buying a gun. In fact, being blind does not any longer prevent you from buying a gun.
All right. This is also a lie. This was not mentally ill people. These were people with payees for their disabilities check. And also on top of that, the whole blind people thing. First up, there was never a law against people with blind. There might be some states that have some sort of vision test attached to owning a gun. But federally speaking, no, blindness is not recognized as a disability. And hey, guess what? I've got like a couple of relatives who are legally blind. And they can use a gun just fine. They're not going to be able to be sniping at 1,000 yards because their vision isn't perfect, but to see the front sight and to see a target, 15 feet away, it's not a problem.
Yep. And even if they're totally blind, if somebody grabs a hold of me, I know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to have a whole lot of vision in order to use a knife.
The old statement about a belly gun is it's the gun that you stick in the guy's belly when he's on top of you.
Oh my goodness. They're blind. They won't see.
Yeah, I mean, if they start spraying independently at shadows that they can barely make out, hey, guess what? That's called illegal. It's no different than if you stumble out of bed in your house in the middle of the night and don't turn on a light before you start shooting.
So let's take a break right here. And every week, we tell you that this podcast runs on your donations. And that is very true. We just got a reasonably good-sized donation from one of our listeners that I turned around immediately and I paid to our hosting service. It costs $225 a year to host the blog for the podcast where you can go and get the show notes, that stuff. That's $225. And it costs us $20 a month. Oh, wait, no. It costs me $20 a month in order to host the site where the podcast itself, you know, the audio part is hosted. So when you click to download or when it magically appears on your phone, it all comes from Libsyn. That costs us $20 a month. So it's a considerable amount of money that comes out on this. And I really appreciate all of those people who have donated to the podcast, who especially our subscribers, those that guarantee us a few dollars every month that we can count on. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Those of you who are not currently donating or subscribing, please consider going to gunblogvarietycast.com. Look on the right sidebar and you'll see the donate or subscribe. You can donate a single amount one time, or you can subscribe for as little as $2 a month. So let's get back to it.
You know, there's just, the evidence is just so clear that more guns do not keep you safer.
Gun ownership is up, violent crime is down.
But guns don't keep us safe.
Evidently not.
And it's not about the gun keeping us safe. The argument that they need to make isn't, oh, well, the gun doesn't make you safe. They need to make the argument that the gun makes you so much less safe that you're better off without one. And I haven't noticed any of my guns leaping out to shoot me.
Yeah, they need to imply that there is peril and there is a need to get rid of these guns for them to do what they want, which is getting rid of guns.
But it rarely gets reported when somebody actually uses their Second Amendment right with a gun to protect himself against a criminal.
That's Steve Scalise talking about the Vegas shooting after he got back after being shot himself. And oddly enough, he's still pro-Second Amendment. And I really liked this cut because he points out the instead of it being, oh, our Second Amendment right to own guns and hunt deer. No, he's like the Second Amendment right to defend ourselves.
Yeah, the Second Amendment right to pull out a gun, point it at the person who's trying to harm you and say, no, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, okay, well, you won't take a no for an answer. You're going to take this?
Mm-hmm.
We've had 273 events in this past year of mass shootings, which means four or more killed.
I love this smoke and mirrors, too, is talking about mass shootings. Because, yeah, when you hear the term mass shooting, we think about Pulse. We think about Aurora. We think about this new shooting in Las Vegas. Now they're saying like hundreds of shootings this year alone. Yeah, no, it's... Yes, these are happening. I don't think this is a fake number.
Oh, I think it's a totally fake number. Here's why. When they give you that 273 mass shootings, they're not talking about four or more people killed, even though that's what she said. That's the redefined four or more people injured, including the shooter. That's the same thing as they're pumping up our numbers of gun deaths by adding people who kill themselves.
It would be a similar idea to calling, you know, certain guns assault weapons. Is we already had a term assault rifle, and we know what an assault rifle is. You say assault weapon, and then, and also people will say, straight up say, I mean, Hillary Clinton will say, you know, people getting killed instead of people getting injured. It is invoking something in somebody's mind and leading them down a path. And again, it's nonsense. And again, these are also almost all gang violence in places like Chicago, Baltimore, and Philadelphia, and LA. These stories don't even make the local news, let alone the international news like the Las Vegas shooting.
Making silencers available. I mean, those poor people were only able to save their lives because they heard the gunshots, and the police were only able to find the shooter because they could hear the shots and track them.
You know, if I'd watched people's heads exploding and bullet holes appearing in their bodies and people falling down suddenly and blood gushing everywhere, I would have just kept on dancing to, you know, the country music, right?
Yeah.
That's what you would do. It's only the sound of the gunfire that would have triggered these people to run away. Does that make any sense?
And the cops wouldn't even look for him because they'd be like, oh, we didn't hear anything. So
yeah,
let's just go home. Praise Trump, to quote Larry Correa.
Exactly. What did you actually hear in the video?
Well, so that's a big thing is this is a total lie anyway, because the sounds of the gunshots were confusing and misleading because number one, he was using a rifle. So you've got the muzzle report, which happens at the location of the gun. And then you've got the sonic crack, which is as the bullet crosses, you know, wherever you are. And then on top of that, this is high rises. So it's reflecting off of them. So you're hearing the report, then you're hearing the echo, which is sounding almost as loud as the report. So that's why there was reports that there were multiple people shooting down from multiple vantage points. You know, people thought they were stuck in a pincer attack because they were hearing gunshots coming from the left and from the right because they were hearing the echo as well. And the only reason why the cops found that guy was As the guy started shooting, his room filled with smoke and the smoke detectors went off in the room. And so there's people getting shot and bloody, and the hotel says, oh, this room on the 32nd floor, the smoke detectors are going off. Yeah, maybe we should send the cops up there.
I have a suppressor. I've put it on my AR-15. It's still kind of loud.
He's using supersonic ammo. That ammo is going to be making a bunch of noise. You're going to figure it out pretty quick. And I've actually put a link in the show notes of a guy who, kind of a goofy idea, but whatever, is he owns a bunch of silencers. And he decided that he was going to, he's got a little range in his backyard, a little backstop in his backyard. So he went and opened up like a couple of doors in his house and shot through his house out into the backyard with a bunch of different handguns. And much to his surprise, yeah, like we're talking just pistols. So again, not nearly as much gunpowder as a rifle. And he was setting off all the smoke detectors in his house with all the smoke that these were creating.
I think I've seen that video.
Well, it's in the show notes if you want to see it again.
You're going to hear us talk about this in the show for the next couple months. We're taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate. It will help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to this show. So please take a few minutes and visit our website at gunblogvarietycast.com. You'll find the listener survey link at the top of the right sidebar. It's also in the show notes right at the top, and you can complete the survey anonymously. Thanks.
I do have to say that those surveys are very interesting, and I've been using the information, the likes and dislikes. So we're going to have a show about that at some point, probably close to the end of the year. And I've been paying attention to what's been coming across on that. So thanks a lot.
That was the bullet that we dodged at almost electing Hillary Clinton. I'm not a huge fan of Trump, but it's really hard to listen to interviews with her and go, yeah, we would have been better off with her. So next up, we have Dianne Feinstein also making political hay while the bodies were still warm.
America is a gun-happy country, and I think there are many of us in growing numbers that don't want a gun-happy country.
I don't know, Sean. Gun ownership's up, and I don't know, guns make me happy. I do podcasts about guns. I like guns. Do you like guns, Sean?
Obviously, I do.
Okay, maybe I'm being a little bit too literal here. Maybe she's saying, like, gun-happy, like, trigger-happy, like, there's more people shooting each other, except... No, there aren't more people. Violent crime's down.
Every time we get another gun, our humanity drops even more in their eyes. So maybe it's not that it's a gun-happy country. It's that, damn it, my country is filled with these people who like guns. Ew, we need to purge them.
These people, those people, other.
Guns have their place. I don't have a problem if they're used properly.
Okay, this might be this is even bigger than Hillary Clinton's lies, because, yeah, you do.
Yep, she had one after Harvey Milk got killed.
That is true. Meanwhile, she's, yeah, in San Francisco, one of the hardest places to get a gun. What do they have, like 5 carry permits in the entire city?
You might be exaggerating, but I don't think you're exaggerating very much.
I'm very sure that it's not much.
But what I have seen over the decades is a growth of substantial improper use of weapons.
How? Violent crime is down. Accidental gun death is almost zero. Suicide is a bit up. We got to admit that. But the number of gun deaths and injuries has been the same, like, since I was a kid.
In her defense, anything that is not governmental is improper use of a firearm, as far as she's concerned.
Not only is this, you know, incident with a bump stock, a gun being misused, but us average person of the, hey, check this out, and using a bump stock at the range and getting a big old grin on your face, or, you know, having a get together where a bunch of people are shooting guns or shooting pumpkins this time of year. It's pumpkin shooting season. That's all misuse of firearms.
Somebody comes along. He has been legal. He's gotten his weapons legally. He has 40 weapons.
Again, who cares how many guns he's got? And he wasn't disqualified. He got them all legally.
40 guns. Times, you know, half of your humanity every time. He was practically a Terminator at that point.
Exactly.
He has 12 of these bump stocks. They are on the weapons.
Did he shoot 12 different firearms over this course?
I don't think anybody knows that, at least not outside the actual investigation. So I can tell you that my rifle could shoot that many bullets without jamming up or breaking. So I don't see why it makes a difference that there was more than one gun.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He shouldn't have done what he did. Shooting into people one time, shooting into the crowd was bad. that was where he crossed the line. It wasn't when he picked up gun number 7 and started shooting. It was when he picked up gun number 1. So however many guns he had, the problem here, it's the viewpoint. It's her view. Oh my goodness. I can understand if you had grandpa's old fowling piece, but you had an AR and you had more than one and you had a whole bunch. You must be a cyborg.
Please. It's also just their objective. It is not that he had 40 guns or 400 guns or 4 guns. And it's not that he had 1 bump stock or 300 bump stocks in there. It's that there was one nut that was interested in killing innocent human beings. That's where our problem is. It's not a hardware problem. It's a software problem. But you can't ban software, and she wants to ban guns. So she's going to focus on the guns.
We don't want somebody who is mentally screwed up like that, anybody who thinks that's a good idea, to be freed running around causing trouble. She doesn't want guns. It's not that I have 6, 7, 8 guns. It's that I have 1.
0 is the perfect number.
And he begins to fire a weapon that fires similar to a machine gun.
How are we defining similar? This is where the danger comes in. Have you ever shot a bump stock?
No, I have not.
I have not either, but I have actually bump fired a rifle long before anyone even came up with a bump stock. I mean, it was probably 10 years before the Aikens accelerator came out, but yeah, we were in a sand pit with really, really high walls and someone was like, "Hey, do you want to try this out?" And I said, "Sure." I did it once. I've shot full auto guns. I'm not really that into full auto either. It seems just like a waste of ammo. I like putting one round right where I want it to go. And you know, if there's a follow-ups and all that. Any gun that's semi-auto, you can bump fire. Just the bump stock just made it a little bit more practical, if you want to define bump firing as practical. And then what are they going to call similar? You could buzz through ammo pretty fast with any normal gun. The gun clubs around here, some of them will have the rule, no simulated full auto fire, which just means no spraying ammo downrange.
I guess they're going to have to ban Jerry Michalak.
Yes, yes, because you can shoot simulated full auto. I mean, I've got a 10-shot 22 revolver. I can empty that thing really fast and accurately.
CNN ran the pictures of the 57 dead Americans. Mm-hmm. Every American should look at those pictures and say, do we want more of this? This is one simple thing that stops the making of a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun.
Crap. Again, you can bump fire a rifle with just your belt loop. I mean, there's videos of guys bump firing pistols. It's a software thing. It is not a hardware thing. And then also they're like, this is the way we can stop this. Like when Australia and the UK say they eliminated mass shootings by banning guns, first up, citation needed. I mean, it was statistical noise before the ban. It's statistical noise after the ban. So to say something was effective when something statistically really didn't happen, these are super rare occurrences. You're really pushing the limits. What they don't talk about is their violent crime level went up after they had their bans. So do you want more dead bodies? Cool. Pass more gun control. Now comes the really scary part. Dianne Feinstein accidentally tells the truth.
I'm not sure there is any set of laws that could have prevented it.
Meanwhile, in another studio, Nancy Pelosi is sticking to the talking points.
What new law can we put out there that would stop something like this?
We had come together in a bipartisan way to put together what we thought would save the most lives, and that is to have background checks.
When your only tool is a hammer, everything starts looking a lot like a nail. Can you imagine the tone deafness of saying that with a guy, as far as I know, every single one of his 5 gabillion guns, however many guns he has, it keeps going up according to the statement. He had 5 gabillion guns. And every single one he bought with a background check.
The man who had a $400,000 house, 2 airplanes, millions of dollars in the bank, was a successful poker player, I think is what I was told. The guy made money gambling. Oh, well, you know, if we had had background checks. Mm-hmm. How's that work exactly?
I'm surprised that he was using a bump stock and not an actual machine gun. Old white dude that's got a lot of money and a whole bunch of expensive playthings. That's the guy that is into guns. That's the guy that has a belt-fed M60.
We have a Second Amendment. There's been difference over its interpretation by the court, the High Court. Nonetheless, the High Court has held, and possession of firearms is legal under the Second Amendment.
I mean, we mentioned before, Hillary said they got it wrong and that she was going to nominate someone to change that to the Supreme Court. And I mean, Feinstein's from San Francisco, which might as well not have a Second Amendment as far as how the laws work over there.
The Second Amendment really predates the Bill of Rights. Our founding fathers believed strongly in gun rights for citizens. Frankly, they thought it was an assumed right. They didn't put it in the Constitution because they didn't think it would ever be in jeopardy. But ultimately, you saw attempts later on to take away gun rights. So they said it's so important, we're going to make it one of the 10 Bill of Rights constitutional changes. And so it is a long history in our country to make sure that you protect the rights of citizens to bear arms.
Now, who is this guy? If he knew anybody who was a victim of gun violence, he would never think these things. He would have a more nuanced view of what the Second Amendment means, right?
It was Steve Scalise. He just got out of the hospital.
Well, yeah, but you know, anybody can go in the hospital.
From getting shot.
Yeah, well, maybe he shot himself by accident.
By a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Oh.
Who is hunting Republicans. And I love this. This clip is blowing people's heads up because this is the truth. And the bottom line is this is my belief, is it's not just, oh, because we're Americans, we have the right to keep and bear arms. No. People in England, people in Zimbabwe, people everywhere have the right to protect themselves. You are the owner of your body. And if someone wants to commit harm to you, you have the right to make them stop. And you have the right to use the best tools at your disposal. We have opposable thumbs for a reason. We are tool users. Get the best tool to defend your life. And guess what? That's a firearm.
The best example of tone deaf I have ever seen was the person who said, I think on Twitter, so, you know, consider the source, oh, well, of course he still believes in gun rights. The NRA has paid him. He sold his soul. The NRA gave him $4,950. You know what? $4,950 is not enough for anyone to take a bullet.
Nope.
No freaking way am I going to let some dude shoot at me for my less than $5,000 and then say, I sold my soul. I'm a good politician. I stay bought. Are you freaking kidding me? That's your view? Oh, the only reason people disagree with you is because the NRA pays them to disagree with you? Get out of my life. Get out of my country. Get off my planet.
And the tone-deaf nature of it on the fact that if it was so simple, if you could just buy support of gun rights. That's their overall statement is that no, 90% of people agree with us. 90% of people want guns to be banned and just wiped off the face of the earth or whatever the heck they're trying to pitch at this exact moment. Cause it's BS. So they can fit it to whatever frame they want, is that it's because the NRA, but the NRA is buying off the politicians. So the will of the people will never be done. Well, if you could just buy the politicians, I mean, we got Michael Bloomberg, and again, Michael Bloomberg outfunds the NRA when he jumps into a race. Michael Bloomberg tried to put universal background checks in Maine. He spent like 10 times the amount of the pro-gun groups, like NRA, the local Maine affiliates, like everybody, versus just Michael Bloomberg. It was like 10 to 1 in spending. And hey, guess what? No universal background checks in Maine because Mainers said no. And again, you've got on top of Michael Bloomberg, you've got Harvey Weinstein, you've got George Soros. Remember George Soros? They're all still out there. If you could buy your way into repealing the Second Amendment, it would have been done by now.
You can buy your way into forgiveness for all sorts of sexual harassment, but apparently you can't buy enough votes to get rid of the Second Amendment. Let that sink in.
Cerakote is a polymer ceramic composite coating that can be applied to metals, plastics, polymers, and wood. It's also what will take your plain Jane firearm from basic to full custom. Whether you want a handgun coated in just a single color, your hunting rifle camouflaged for your specific environment, or your competition pistol sprayed in purple, white, and black Carolina Cryptic, you want Carolina Ceramic Coating to do the job. Bud and his team of skilled technicians will carefully disassemble and clean your firearm, professionally apply the Cerakote in your choice of colors and patterns, and return your firearm to you in perfect working order. And they also do auto engine parts. When I wanted my competition handgun Cerakoted, I trusted Carolina Ceramic Coating, and you should too. Check out their work on Instagram. Search at CerakoteNC, that's at CERAKOTENC, or go to CarolinaCeramicCoating.com.
And I will be taking that Carolina Ceramic Coating's prepped SIG P320 with the Gray Guns trigger out to shoot IDPA on Saturday. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be over. And hopefully I'll do as well this week as I did last time. That was awesome.
Possession of machine guns is not legal under the Second Amendment.
Right.
The National Firearms Act said they were not legal.
Okay, also wrong. No, they were perfectly legal after the NFA was passed. It was just prohibitively expensive. It was like half the price of like a new car was what the $200 tax stamp. I think you could get like a Model T for like $400, $500 back then.
This was actually something that was discussed when they were trying to pass the National Firearms Act. They've specifically said, oh, we can't ban them. That would break the Constitution. The only thing we can do is we can exercise our power to tax, and then we'll tax it at a really high rate and make it just damn near impossible for anybody to pay. We won't be banning it, so we won't be violating the Second Amendment. They knew they couldn't ban them. They knew the Constitution said they couldn't ban them. So they exercised their taxing authority. It wasn't just like, well, you know, let's put a $200 tax on it because nobody will pay it. It was, we'll put a $200 tax on it because there's literally nothing else we can do.
We both got our start fisking Joan Peterson, and she was always saying, oh, no, they still have guns, you know, in either the, you know, the bad states or places like the UK, because you can buy like a 22 rifle in those states. So therefore they have a right to guns. And the same thing goes with, I mean, just the evil of the NFA on that level. So first up, it was supposed to be handguns in there as well.
Yeah.
That's where the any other weapons were coming from. The handguns got carved out at the last minute. That's also why short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns is important, because they had to have a magic thing that would define a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to have something that was, the long guns were defined. So when did a long gun become too short that now is a handgun? Because handguns were supposed to become prohibitively expensive back then. And note that like a handgun was like 15, you know, a decent handgun was like $15 back then, and adding an extra $5 tax stamp onto it, maybe $200, depending on how they were working on it and wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
And that was also in the depth of the Great Depression, which is probably also another reason why people didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to this horrible law and just evil law, was people were starving to death because the farms were gone and people didn't have any work. So we weren't making food and people didn't have money to buy food. And so people were worried that they were going to take suppressors and put them on guns and go jack deer so that they could feed their families. Wasn't like this was like for-profit trophy hunting. No, this is just blasting deer in the public reserves just so you could put some meat in the pot. And so therefore suppressors had to be illegal because of that. Better to just have people starve to death.
Now you have people with American inventiveness inventing something that can be added, an additive that boosts the firing rate to that of a machine gun.
This is all the anti-gunner's fault. You ban machine guns, people are going to want them even more. There's a litany of things that are NFA workarounds. I mean, we've got all these like 12 gauge firearms on the market now. I mean, I hate saying it, it's so goofy because I see it. It's a shotgun. It's a short-barreled shotgun. No, it's not. It's technically not a short-barreled shotgun. Why does that exist? Because short-barreled shotguns are a thing. So therefore we had to get something that's just outside the realm of a short-barreled shotgun. Same also with your arm brace pistols. They're not carbines. They're a pistol. Also, just the general idea of like, you know, you get your little MP5 pistol. Why do you have that? Or your Tech Nines or the Uzi pistols or all of that. Why do those even exist? They're like the worst pistol on earth. Why? Because guess what? You can't own a submachine gun, and B, you can't own a short barreled rifle. So just make it into a pistol. See also AR-15s. You make an assault weapons ban. People are suddenly going to want them. This is caused by the anti-gunners.
And they can't possibly understand why it's fun to shoot a machine gun, because the idea of actually shooting a regular gun just terrifies them. If you're the sort of person, not only do you have a gun and like shooting it, but you actually plan ahead to shoot a person, because if you carry it with you, you're saying you're going to kill somebody.
I disagree, because you've seen the picture of Chuck Schumer shooting the Tech Nine during just leading up to the assault weapons.
Okay, true.
There's Chuck Schumer with the most awful shooting form whatsoever. I think he's like hip firing a Tech Nine and probably just spraying bullets everywhere on the planet. It's a Tech Nine. It's like the worst handgun on the planet. Like, it is a pile of garbage. both ergonomically, it's just not fun to hold out like a front heavy, goofy looking gun like that. And then on top of that, it's like a lowest bidder, cheap piece of crap. Like, you know, you want to knock on high points. Like a high point is like a less bare 1911 compared to a Tech 9, just as far as how the feel goes of those guns. And yet he's sitting there with an ear to ear grin. Cause guess what? And the same thing with me or you, we go out to the range and someone's got a Tech 9. We're like, yeah, I'll shoot your Tech 9. Man, what a piece of crap. I've shot high points. They're horrible. And I'm smiling while I'm doing it.
He looks like a toothpaste commercial in that picture.
He really does.
It is legal for an American to carry a weapon. It's legal for them to drive a car. However, they register that car.
Implying what? Again, as far as I know, all of these guys' guns were bought at gun shops, so they were effectively registered. I mean, we already know that a bunch of them were bought at gun shops and what gun shops they were come from because, you know, when you buy it directly from an FFL, it's all traceable. Hence the reason why they want universal background checks, because guess what? You've got a registry. They're registered. And what did it do? Did it protect anybody?
Apparently not. There's something that I saw a long time ago. Take one piece of paper, cut it into two pieces, write your name on one, write your name on the other, and you hand one of them to somebody. And then you hold the pen like it's a gun. And you say, okay, this one that I'm holding is my license. That one that you're holding is my registration. Now use both of those to stop me from doing this. And then pretend to shoot them with your pen gun.
Yeah, I saw a very similar one in a YouTube video where the guy, yeah, wrote his name on two pieces of paper and then pretended to hand it, you know, held one up towards the camera. Here's my registration. Here is my license. All right, use those to stop me to go into the next room. And I think it was a high point. Picked up this high point, walked into the other room, and then added some after effects, some flashes coming from the hallway of muzzle flashes. Again, what are you going to do?
Yep.
But again, when you note that they're very open about there are too many guns on the street. They're coming for your guns. They want to ban them. And they cannot do that without registration because otherwise, yeah, I was talking about my safe full of Mosin-Nagants, but I lost them in a tragic boating accident.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, says the guy who's both registered with the ATF because I bought them on my 03 FFL and Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts.
You get the picture.
And so there are a lot of things that could be done to make it safer. But every single one has been opposed by a very powerful organization.
So this is a bait and switch. There are ways to make it safer. How? She states that just like it's a statement of fact and then goes and points out that gun owners and the NRA oppose these laws. Yeah, because you're implying that they make you safer. They don't make you safer. That's why we oppose them. The whole statement of, oh, we have to do something. When I hear someone say, oh, we have to do something, I say, cool, sell me your house. Give me your house for $5. What? No, I'm not going to do that. Give me your car. Give me the keys to your car. We have to do something. Give me the keys to your car. I'll take your car off your hands.
That's something.
Yeah. What is that going to do? I'm going to get your car. I'm going to sell your house for a lot of money and I'm going to buy a whole bunch of guns with it. When people say we have to do something, they don't ever factor into the equation that 99% of the options are terrible options. You know, we have to do something. Cool. Jump off a building. Oh, quickly, lick an electrical socket. You know, there's a million things you could do. All of them are terrible ideas and aren't going to make things any better.
The passion to protect gun rights and to fight gun regulation is much deeper on that side of the issue than the passion on the gun control side of this debate.
Of course, Feinstein says, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. Except for that's again why we say why do they keep lying about the 90% thing? It's not true. It's demonstrably not true. Why do they keep lying about it? Because they're just in utter denial. And why is it a problem? Is yeah, I could say, oh yeah, no, bump stocks don't make a gun shoot any faster than it does. Like we could throw some lies in here to try to throw a little shade on it politically. We don't need to. We can tell the truth. We can talk about things that are a little bit ugly. Did the bump stocks help them fire faster? Yes. Did it possibly kill more people? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I really can't say that for sure. But we don't need to lie. And again, we can get more people in because we don't need to lie. And at the same time, going to the range and shooting is fun. Shooting in a competition is fun. So they've got a losing proposition. All right, so let's end with Steve Scalise. Let's give this man the last word. He has the perfect answer to those who say, we need to have a conversation about gun control now.
I would first say that we've had a gun control debate for a long time. I mean, you look at the presidential race, the NRA had never endorsed that early when they endorsed Donald Trump because they knew there was a clear contrast. Donald Trump was supportive of gun rights, and Hillary Clinton wanted to limit gun rights. And so there was a contrast, and it was fought out. And ultimately, the public had a decision to make, and that was one of the things that they weighed their vote on.
Oh, wait, that's that guy that has never seen any gun violence in his life, right?
Steve Scalise again. He just got out of the hospital, shot by a Bernie bro.
So we have the spectacle of a bunch of people whining, oh, we need to take away your guns. Oh, we need to register them. We're going to register them. That won't do anything, but we can use that later to take away your guns. And we have a person who has actually been shot by a mass shooter or an attempted mass shooter because he didn't get four kills. He didn't get any kills. And he's saying, I've been shot.
Yep. And he's also saying that they always say, oh, you know, we need to have to talk about the gun debate. We can't talk about this shooting because, again, we don't know. We're getting more information on there. Some of the information we may have given in this show might be incorrect. We might find out later. Oh, no. Someone misheard. Someone wrote the wrong thing. Someone didn't understand something. You know, we don't, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. So we can't react to this specific event right now with any specific details because the facts aren't known. But when it comes to talking about guns and gun rights and the status of the Second Amendment in America, we're having that conversation. We're having that conversation a lot. Just the anti-gunners don't like it. And they want to just keep reissuing the conversation until the answer comes out the right way.
Well, as a reminder, join Gunblog Varietycast Radio Group on Facebook. That's GBVC Radio Group on Facebook. Sometime soon, we'll have to do another giveaway. Well, that's our show for the week. Remember that Gunblog Varietycast Radio is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Find the show notes at gunblogvarietycast.com/episode165.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gunblog Varietycast. Music courtesy of Rob Allen at blog.roballen.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play Music. This podcast is made possible by the Firearms Policy Coalition and by contributions from listeners like you. This is a URS production.